Live from the Average Joe Nation studios in St. Clair, Missouri, this is the Average Joe Podcast, a show that proves that in this crazy world, a combination of common sense and a C-plus average is actually a superpower. Sure, he's crazy, but what if he's right? Please welcome your host, Damon Gilbert.
All right, everyone. It is Monday, what is it, May 4th. May 4th. And usually I do a little recap of the news. I'm not going to do that today. I got a lot to talk about. So we're going to get right into it. Excuse me. Let's see. Saturday, which would have been March 2nd, my wife and I attended the Missouri Republican Caucus in our respective district. It was held at a church in Union, Missouri. And it was very interesting. I'd never been to one of those before. They have not had a caucus since 2012. And I believe the reason the state of Missouri did that this time is because it saves money in the long run. I think they explained to us that Missouri saved like $9 or $10 million having a caucus rather than a primary. And I think it was probably the wise move. Donald Trump was going to be the nominee, and he ended up being elected to that. Well, elected, the delegates chose him as to represent them. It was interesting. It was a packed house. It was standing room only. There was, I think the fire marshal had a number of 375 to be in that building. It was around 300 total. So they were 300 registered voters took the time on a Saturday to come out and show their support for the president or the former president. Now, there were some Haley voters there. They were treated with respect. Well, let me back up. Here's the interesting thing. This thing was not advertised anywhere. It was not. I talked to several of the people there. I talked to a couple of people running for office in the state level. I spoke to them, quite a while because we had to stand in line. So I was speaking to these people. They were running for the district, and they explained to me. They said, it's going to be interesting to see how many people come because we were not allowed to advertise anywhere for this. I think they put something out on Facebook, but you couldn't advertise in the local paper, which is the Missourian out of Washington, Missouri. Apparently, from what I understand, the one individual I was talking to said that the advertisement would actually come out today, which would have been Saturday. And most people don't get the paper. It comes in the mail. So it would be after lunch before you got it. This thing started at 8 o'clock in the morning. So that way they can say, hey, we let you advertise. We just did it after the fact. So it just gives you an idea of the type of left-leaning liberal reach that they have when it comes to the mainstream media. There was no mention of it in St. Louis. I don't believe the radio stations would talk about it. So this was all by word of mouth, and we still got around 300 people to be there. Now, what happened? And I don't know if you're familiar with how caucuses work, but I was very interested in finding out. I hear about the Iowa caucus, the Nevada caucus, that kind of stuff. Since I was a little kid, I used to hear about that and often wonder what this was. Well, I found out. I kind of had an idea, but I didn't know exactly how it works. So what you do is you enter the building. You have to be a registered voter. You don't have to be a Democrat or a Republican. They don't ask that. You just have to be a registered voter. You have to be able to prove that. And by doing that, you basically just use your driver's license. So we walk in, we get signed up. You could sign up ahead of time, but again, since there was no advertisement, there was no information put out there that would give you would allow you to pre-register. There was a way to pre-register. It was just you had to do it in February. Well, I didn't hear about this thing until, late February, early March, that it was even going to take place. So you get in there, you got to stand in line, you register. It was very simple. You go sit down. It was basically a gym is what it was at a local church. And we sit there and they get the minutes read. They introduce everyone. Now, these are people from the Republican Party, the Missouri Republican Party, delegates, a lot of them. They were up front. One was from a small town next to us. It doesn't really matter. Very nice people. They brought up, we're going to do the caucus first, and then we're going to elect delegates, and then we're going to talk about amendments to the Republican platform. Okay? So the caucus was really what I was interested in, but I thought, I'll stay for the whole thing. So what we did, basically, she gave everyone an opportunity to talk. Not everyone, but anyone who wanted to try and recruit people to their candidate. In other words, no one stood up for Trump. They really didn't. I mean, it was kind of actually kind of funny. He did not have a representative there, but you could tell the entire crowd just by hearing the chatter, or you know, and the clothes they wore, the hats they wore, all that. They were all Trump supporters. So there was really no reason to try and talk to the crowd, to try and sway anybody one way or the other. But there were actually three candidates. I can't even remember the third guy's name. There was no one there representing him, and no one stood up for him. So I'm not sure it was. I don't know if it was some innocuous person who just decided to try and run for president in the state of Missouri. I don't know. But there were Nikki Haley fans there. There were 12 of them. Now, mind you, there were 280 people. That did not include some of the delegates in that, but there were 280 people there, 268 of them. What they do is they'll say, okay, we're ready to caucus now. So you'll see that sign over on the west side of the building. It had a big name. It had Donald Trump over there plastered up on the wall. And then on the south side, there was a sign that said Nikki Haley. And it said, what we want you to do is whatever candidate you represent or you support, get up out of your chair and walk to that side of the building. And it really was kind of funny. I mean, 268 people got up and walked over to the Trump side, and 12 walked over to Nikki Haley's. Now, I will say this. They gave one Nikki Haley supporter an opportunity to talk. And she explained, the chairman explained, you have 3 minutes to make your case, and then we'll vote. And the woman got up there. She was a middle-aged gal, and everyone was very respectful, very respectful. Now, she kind of yammered on a little bit. I kind of felt sorry for her because she was put on the spot. I don't think she wanted to go up there in the first place. But nonetheless, she did, and she said, well, we need to get rid of this corruption, and we need to get rid of this big spending, and we need to get rid of these crooks that are in D.C. And I'm thinking, ma'am, you just described your candidate right there, but I can't help you, okay? I can't help you. If you don't see that, there's nothing I can say that's going to change that. But everyone was very respectful. Now, imagine being at a Democratic caucus, okay? Just imagine that, and getting up and stating something that the crowd did not agree with you on. Just for example, let's say, let's do COVID-19 and the vaccines. Imagine you got up there in front of a group of people who were hardcore Democrats, because I'm telling you, the people that were there, and mind you, this crowd was probably an average age of about 55, which kind of disappointed me. I wanted to see some younger people there, but you didn't. You saw a lot of gray hair, a lot of bald heads, a lot of blue hair, okay? But these people still vote. These people still vote. So, like I said, very, very respectful, everyone there was. But just imagine on the flip side, imagine being in a Democratic caucus and coming up there with something controversial. You would have been shouted down. You probably would have been threatened. Things may have been thrown at you. There would be yelling and screaming. It would have been embarrassing. Republicans aren't like that. I mean, not the ones I saw. There were some disagreements. Don't get me wrong. I'll get into that in just a minute. But they were all very respectful about it. We actually applauded her getting up there and saying something about her candidate, Nikki Haley. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You can have that opinion. I think you're wrong, but that doesn't, I don't want you dead because you have that opinion. Unlike the Democrats. And we all know who we're talking about, right? We all know what kind of a mindset there is. They operate from a standpoint of emotion. That's all they do. They react. They don't think, they react. And I got something more to say about that a little bit later. But nonetheless, so then once that was done, we all went back and we were seated once again. And then we proceeded to nominate the delegates who are going to attend the state caucus and probably the national convention at some point. Now, mind you, there are 144 counties in the state of Missouri, and each one had a caucus. Let's see, it started at 10. You had to be there by 8. They shut the doors at 10. We were done voting probably by 10:30. And here's the funny thing. By 11 o'clock, they already knew who had won the caucus in Missouri. Isn't that interesting? Missouri can come up with a winner of their caucus or their elections in a matter of minutes. I think there was a phone call made. Maybe they put it on their website. I'm not sure how they did it, but they were able to tally those and report the findings in just a matter of minutes. Unlike a national election in the United States. I find that amazing. But nonetheless, we got the delegates elected. There were four alternates that volunteered, and there was some discussion about that, but not much. And then they decided, going by the program, they were going to talk about making amendments to the Republican platform. Now, if anybody knows anything about politics, there's always a platform that you stand on. When you're running for office or your party or whatever, doesn't make it legislative. It doesn't make it a law. It doesn't make it anything. It's just our belief system. That's it. So there were some amendments they wanted to make to the platform. Some of them were innocuous. Some of them strictly dealt with wording, choices of words, instead of, absolutely, maybe they'd use the word possibly, that kind of stuff. It was very silly. I mean, I understand why they needed to do it, but there were a few subjects that were brought up that struck a chord in people, and we got a lot of discussion about it, and that was fine. But people acted. Let me put it this way. How do I want to put this and be nice? I don't think I can. No. If you look at what happened Saturday, I sat there in awe. I really did. Especially when we started this amendments to the platform. Prior to that, everything was pretty much structured. But once we got into the amendments, things went sideways pretty quick. I will say this. This was the first time these folks had run a caucus since 2012. So it's been 14 years or 12 years since they had a caucus. So a lot of new people have come in. They weren't really that well organized. And hey, Godspeed to them. I was amazed that they could even pull this off. But they started bringing up these amendments. I won't go into great detail about a lot of them, but in one particular instance, they were talking about abortion. A young man, I will say he was younger. He's probably, of course, I say he's younger. He's probably in his 30s. He came up and he was part of the delegation. And he said, well, I want to introduce this to possibly be inserted into the platform. And what it said was, in essence, was that abortion was considered murder by the Republican Party of Missouri. Okay. Now, being a pro-life person, for the most part. I mean, I am. I'm pro-life. I think that's just the way it should be. Now, whether or not it's a sin and you're going to hell, I mean, that's for others to decide. But for me, pro-life is the way I'd like to be. I think there's nothing better than a baby, and that's just the way it is. And we have to have them in order to keep our species alive and so on and so forth. Okay. Well, I thought when he brought this up, the first thing that came to my mind was, you can't do this. Is it murder? I consider it murder. I do. But that's not a hill you want to die on. It's really not. And I don't think it should be in the Missouri Republican platform. I don't think it should be defined that way. And the reason I say that is because there's several reasons. One is you don't want someone investigating someone who has had a miscarriage. You don't want the local police department coming to your daughter-in-law or your daughter's house, knocking on the door saying, "We hear you had a miscarriage. Are you sure it wasn't an abortion?" That is a real slippery slope when you do that. Now, do I think a woman should go to jail because she had an abortion? I do not. Now, do I think that a doctor should perform these? I do not. I don't think he should. But the point is, I'm getting off into the weeds now. And that's what happened here. People had very, very strong opinions about this, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. You can have an opinion like that. But this was not the time nor the place. All this was an amendment to the platform. It did not represent legislation. It did not represent any attempt at legislation. We weren't making law here, okay? And he was very specific. The man running the meeting was very specific about that. And apparently no one listens. They don't listen. These are nice people, don't get me wrong. Some of the nicest people I'd run into that week. But they do not listen. You're not understanding us here. We're not going to push legislation through based on this. This is just our belief system in our platform, okay? We had people get up there talk about, and here's the thing. You couldn't hear the people, okay? Because it was a big place. So in order to be heard, which they were more than willing to do, they let people come up to the microphone. You had to go up to the microphone. And that took some time. And then by the time you got up there, you know, you start talking about your daughter with Down syndrome, and we could have had an abortion, and we didn't, you know, and all valid points. I understand where you're coming from. This is neither the time nor the place to talk about that. It's just not. These are amendments to the platform. That's it. It's not legislation. Nobody wants to hear your story. Just go back and sit down. Let's get through this. Have you ever been at work and you have a meeting, and when you get done with the meeting, which was a complete and total waste of time, and you know how it is, you go into these meetings, they talk about safety and this and that, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end, they'll go, "Any questions?" And you know as well as I do, everybody in there is going, "Please don't ask a question. Please don't ask a question." Because that means the meeting's going to go on longer, right? And inevitably, I've been in these situations, inevitably, there's some yahoo out here that's got a question. And typically, the question he's asking has already been answered in the meeting. But they're too stupid because they don't listen. People do not listen. But we got through it. We walked out. Everything was fine. Trump got 100% of all the delegates in Missouri. Missouri went red totally. And I guess it melted down a large segment of society in Missouri, because everybody's crying the blues about this. They say it was rigged. It was this. It was that. It wasn't rigged. I was standing right there. I saw it. 268 people said, "We want Trump to be our presidential nominee." That's it. There was nothing rigged about it. Not even when people were speaking was it rigged. So anybody that tells you that is completely full of shit, okay? They don't know what they're talking about. They're making it up. And we're going to go into a little bit more about that here in just a minute, because the Supreme Court ruled this morning in a landmark decision, I thought, about whether or not Trump can be on the ballot in Colorado. It was 9-0. I really did not expect that. Did you? Did anyone listening to this expect it to be 9-0? I was hoping. I was pulling for that. I thought, you know, because it ultimately law, when it comes to the law and it comes to constitutional law, this was a no-brainer. This was a no-brainer. You've got the Secretary of State of Colorado bringing this to the forefront And she knew good and well they were not going to win this. There was no way. He's not been convicted of anything. He has not been convicted of sedition. And not only that, I'm not even sure that the 14th or the 13th Amendment, I mean, the 14th Amendment even applies here. I mean, if you talk to a constitutional scholar, this was about the Civil War. There's actually three amendments that were based around the Supreme or the Civil War. The 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery, okay? The 14th Amendment was an amendment that gave citizens the rights, civil and political liberties, okay? That was all it was about. Now, within that section of the 14th Amendment, there's Section 3, which states that if you're convicted of sedition, then you cannot run for a public office. Now, when they mean public office, they're talking about at the executive level, at the national level, okay? So the only person that they're talking about in this particular situation is the president, okay? So it really doesn't apply here. It really doesn't apply here. This was based on the Civil War during Reconstruction, because you actually had three amendments: the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th. The 15th prohibits federal government or state from denying a citizen's right to vote. Okay, this was the third. 15th was the third and last of the Reconstruction amendments. So in essence, what they're saying is, if you were involved in sedition, basically, if you fought for the South in the Civil War, then you could never run for president. That is the essence of what this whole thing is about. They weren't talking about something in the 21st century. They weren't. This was very specific. These three amendments were structured around Reconstruction. That's it. And then what happens is you've got a lawless Democratic Party that's looking for any way to keep Donald Trump from running for office. And they push this. They push it. And I don't think they're going to be able to push it anymore. Although I've been reading, there is some call and some talk about trying to write legislation to try to keep Trump out of office. I don't think that's going to happen before November. I don't think they're going to be able to pull that off, because Democrats do not have the House of Representatives. And they don't have, they've got a slight majority in the Senate because of Kamala Harris being the tiebreaker, but you're not going to be able to pull that off. But I just wanted to say this: as soon as this was announced, they actually announced it last night, that at 9 o'clock Eastern time, the Supreme Court would rule on this particular case. And I was really looking forward to it. I really was, because I thought, man, If they go full bore on this and it's 9-0, the left is going to melt down. They're going to have fits like you cannot believe. And it actually came true. It made my day to see these people absolutely having cows over this. I mean, we're going from just being absolutely infuriated to, what was it, Keith Olbermann's calling for the Supreme Court to be dissolved, okay? He says, collectively, the court has shown itself to be corrupt and illegitimate. I mean, these people, you're talking about an unhinged leftist. This Keith Olbermann, he used to be an MSNBC commentator or news guy. I mean, that doesn't surprise you. But to see them melt down over this was just priceless. It really was. They're eating their own now. They've had it. They want to know why these three... Well, especially the three women on the Supreme Court did not dissent in this opinion. Well, I'll tell you why. Because they're not idiots. The law is pretty straightforward in this. Not to mention the fact that I don't even think it applied to this situation. I really don't. Yeah, I really don't. But anyway, Jamie Raskin, a Democrat from Maryland. You've got Eric Swalwell and Debbie Wasserman Schultz from Florida. They're trying to revive legislation to force Trump off the 2024 ballot. They said that today. They said they're going to bring this back up and see if we can't get this back and have some legislation passed to keep Donald Trump off the ballot. For what reason, I'm not really sure. because if the Supreme Court rules, there's a reason they call it the Supreme Court, okay? This isn't the half-ass court or the maybe we'll do this court. This is the Supreme Court. This is the one, this is like going before God and asking him what his opinion is. So they're not going to be able to pull this off. I don't know what angle they would take. I really don't. Now, here's one thing that they're talking about. They're not only are they reviving legislation to force him off the ballot, the House Democrats are trying to figure out how to refuse to certify Trump, even if he is reelected in November. Can you believe that? That's what this country's come to. It boils down to this, folks. The Colorado Secretary of State said she was disappointed in SCOTUS's decision. She was appearing on MSNBC, by the way, and she said this. But this belly aching, this screaming, this crying, this pointing fingers and crying and complaining, and you know it just proves again what I've said and what I read the other day, which made perfect sense. I read something the other day. It said Democrats don't think, they feel. And I think that's absolutely true. If you know of any people in your life that are Democrats, and I mean diehard people who you know have been doing this for years, vote Democratic right down the ballot. A lot of young people who think they're saving the world, that kind of thing. The problem is they don't think. They don't use critical thinking skills. They just feel. They operate from an emotional standpoint. And that's just how they do business. And you're not going to win many battles doing that. You're not. You can convince a few to do this, but when everything's done, when the dust settles, usually the thinkers are the ones that are ahead. They're the ones that have got things figured out. And the Supreme Court did that here today. Now, mind you, you've got three radical lefties on the Supreme Court. You've got Sotomayor, Kagan and Brown. Okay. Those three, it doesn't matter what you're voting on, they will go with the leftist progressive view no matter what. So if they voted against this, and not voted, but if they ruled in opposition to this and said this is not constitutional, then you can rest assured that it wasn't. And it wasn't even in a gray area. Okay. So when you hear the leftist crying the blues about this, you just remember. When the referee who's actually trying to throw the game for you calls a foul on your team, it's probably a flagrant foul, okay? That's probably what it is. It's in your face, something that was absolutely over the top. So, okay, so we've got that. Now, I want to move on to number three that we're going to talk about, and that's the war in Ukraine as it stands right now. Over the weekend, there was some talk that Germany may be providing cruise missiles, the Taurus, to the Ukrainians. They kicked this around. They were talking about it. Now, I got news for you, folks. Those type of cruise missile can actually reach Russia, in Russia. That's not good. That's not good at all. That's the kind of thing that will get World War III started. But by the way, I think we're in World War III right now, as a proxy right now. That's the way I believe it. I really do. Now, the German chancellor said that there will be no soldiers, German soldiers on the ground in Ukraine. Now, best I can tell and everything I've seen, the only actual soldiers other than Ukrainians that are there are U.S. or British soldiers, which they don't want to admit they're doing, but it's funny. There was a CIA site that was bombed by the Russians the other day, and they believe that there were some Americans killed. Now, what's that tell you? What's that tell you right there? These are special ops sites, CIA sites. They're probably black sites. They're probably torturing these people. It's hard telling what they're doing. But if there were Americans killed, what's that tell you? Well, there's Americans on the ground. There's American boots on the ground. We've got a real problem here, folks. We are up against an opponent that we're trying to say we're not fighting. We're trying to say that this is because Ukraine is a democracy, which couldn't be any further from the truth than if you actually made an attempt at it. Ukraine is not a democracy. It's never been a democracy. But the Russians are saying, hey, we told you this was going to happen if you did A, B, and C. You've done A, B, and C. Now you're talking about D. And we're not going to put up with D, which is putting cruise missiles within range of Russia and handing them over to the Ukrainians. Because here, you want to talk about something. I want to talk about something here. You got to remember, when you give an opponent or somebody on your side, an ally, when you give an ally weapons, high-tech weapons, you know as well as I do, you're going to have some of your people there instructing these people on how to use these weapons. You can't give a cruise missile to someone who has absolutely no idea how the technology even works. So in order to use these weapons, you're going to have people on the ground. It makes perfect sense. Anybody tells you any difference, lying to you. You just don't hand this stuff over to them. They wouldn't know how to work it. It'd be a monkey trying to open a coconut. They don't know. It's not their fault, but the technology is beyond them. So now you've got technicians there, maybe not soldiers so much, but the point is you've got people on the ground, okay? And this Schultz from Germany, this chancellor, what an idiot. He has absolutely no idea what's going on. He's kind of like Biden. We have got some of the worst leadership in Europe that's, I don't know that it could get any worse. I really don't. They're all ineffectual. They all have no power. Germany's the closest they have anything to an industrial power. And what have they done? They've gone out of their way to try and sabotage their own industrial base. That's what they've done. You want to know why? Because they think and they believe that the Americans will save the day. That's what they think. And that's dangerous. That's the thing. Same thing with Israel right now. Israel thinks they can do anything, you know, Netanyahu does. He believes he can do anything he wants because he's got the backing in the United States. This is not good. This is not good at all. And when Macron from France says over the weekend, by the way, that NATO would attack Russia. Why would you say that? The French have an army that's probably the equivalent of an ROTC program in a high school. They have absolutely no power whatsoever. They depend on NATO and the United States to defend them. That's what this is all about. The French are irrelevant. They really are. And the British. They used to be an industrial base, but a powerhouse, but they're not anymore. So the question is this: is NATO waging a war against Russia? And the answer is yes. They are, in fact, waging a war against Russia. And where does that leave the United States? It leaves us in a very precarious situation because we do not have the military nor the economic strength to fight a battle against Russia. We just don't. And we're bluffing because we don't have the ability. And guess what? Russia does. Look at all the sanctions that were placed against them. The additional sanctions that Biden's put in place. It hasn't hurt Russia at all. It hasn't. Now, the Victoria Nulands of the world and the Joe Bidens of the world and the Hillary Clintons, they're bluffing. They're bluffing. These neocons, they're out of control. They wanted to use Ukraine as a battering ram to push Putin out of office. And that was a bad idea. Because Russia told us, Putin told us, if you go down this road and you use high-tech, dangerous weapons against the Russian people, which is what they're talking about, we will attack you. If Western Europe uses any kind of high-tech weapon to attack Russia head-on, Russia will retaliate. He's told us that. He's told us. And what's the problem? Where do we stand? Well, the Europeans, along with the Israelis in Gaza, They think that the U.S. power is limitless. It's not. We are in a position right today. I'd say that we're in a more dangerous position than we've been in the last 30 years. Really, I'm serious. When you've got a 4-star general, his name Randy George, currently in the military, said over the weekend, he said, "We are not prepared to fight a war against Russia. Russia is very prepared. They're stronger than they were in the 1980s. Now, there have been people been saying this for years. Douglas MacGregor, ex-general. You've got Scott Ritter. You've got all kinds of people from the military saying, we have got to change our position. We have got to become stronger. We have got to be a force to be reckoned with. We're not. We're handing over all of our military gear to Ukraine. That's what we're doing. That's what this $61 billion is about, that they're trying to jam through the House of Representatives. They want $61 billion to give to Ukraine. They say, oh, if we give them this, they'll win. No, they won't. No, they won't, because probably 90% of that money is going to be stolen. 90% of it would be stolen. And any of the money that is spent on weapons will be weapons that are built in the United States, and we'll just put them back into our warehouses. We're going to give these people our old stuff, is what they're going to do. This is a great way for the military-industrial complex to make more money. That money will be recycled in the United States. There's no doubt about that. We are not ready to fight a battle against Russia. We're just not. Our best choice right now, and this is the prudent thing to do right now, is to get the hell out of there. It really is. Cut your losses. Because you see these congressmen talking, well, I was in Kyiv the other day, last month, and I spoke with President Zelensky, and we decided that yada, 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 yada. Well, I got news for you. You let this go much longer, and you start putting U.S. missiles in the Arctic Circle that are pointed at Russia. The next time that a congressman goes to Kyiv, he's going to be visiting Russian troops that are there. Because I tell you what, the only thing Russia is going to know to do at this point, if you continue down this road, is to take over Ukraine completely. They need a buffer zone. That's what they need. They do not want NATO in Ukraine. And I can understand that. We wouldn't want Russia in Mexico. We wouldn't want Russia in Canada. We wouldn't want that. Remember how we went off the deep end when they tried to put nuclear missiles in Cuba? Try and do that today. See what happens. You can understand Russia's position on this. I can. I'm no fan of Putin, but I can see his point. We told you not to do this. And all I hear from them, all I hear from the military is, well, like Friday, what was it? Lloyd Austin, the big fat tub of lard from the military, the black guy, talking about the domino effect. Okay, this is the same shit I heard back in the 60s about Vietnam. Let's see how that worked out for us. Because if we fail to support a democracy, he'll just continue to roll over Europe and head into Western Europe. No, that's not what he's going to do. He's told us what he's going to do. He wants a buffer zone. Russia was promised this back in the 90s. Gorbachev was told, we will not move NATO one inch further east. And what did they do? That's the first thing they did. These neocons, that's what they do. So ultimately, what we have to do is get out of here and get out of there right now. The only thing we can do today to avoid this whole mess is to sit down and negotiate a territorial agreement and make Western Ukraine neutral with no NATO. You have to do this. Ukraine is going to lose this. There's no getting around it. They've already lost this battle. They've lost this war. It's not going to get any better. They have lost an entire generation of men. It will take generations to rebuild this country. And it's all because we didn't keep our word. NATO did not keep its word. Now, getting back to the $61 billion, what do you think is going to happen? Well, I would say Mike Johnson's probably going to cave at some point. Don't you? I think that's what he's going to do. I think he's going to finally give in and say, you know what? Okay, we're going to negotiate a little bit more, but then you can have your $61 billion and see where it goes. I guarantee you this is not going to end well. The best thing to do would be to let this thing go away. Just get out of it. Because if you don't, it's going to drag all of us into it. And Schumer may be right. We may end up with soldiers dying in Ukraine. U.S. soldiers dying in Ukraine. We can't have that. We can't have that. Not for a useless war. This has nothing to do with how bad Putin is or how bad Russia is or the old Soviet Union. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with it. It has to do with a country protecting its border and asking that you don't come any closer. That's all they're asking. They're wanting to make Ukraine, they're wanting to put Ukraine in NATO. What does that mean ultimately? That means if that happens, that NATO will put missiles on the border of Russia. That's exactly what will happen. And Putin said he can't have that. He will not stand for that. So we've got $61 billion in limbo right now in Congress. We got one man standing in the way. His name is Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House. I predict he'll fold. The money will go to Ukraine. Most of it will be stolen or recycled, and they will still lose the war. They will. They're going to be run over. And I tell you what, Russia's been pretty kind up to this point. They could have mowed down this whole country, and they haven't done that. So what are you going to do? You're going to poke them in the eye again? It's never a good idea. It's never a good idea. So anyway, I think this thing's going to drag on through the summer. And as far as I can tell, Biden and the cronies that are behind him wanted to go at least till November. That way he can be, you know, a president on a war footing. That's what part of this is about. So we'll see how it all plays out. I just hope we all live through it is what I hope. Because if you think Russia's not serious and you think Putin's going to just turn tail and run, you're out of your mind. It's not going to happen. And why isn't someone over there negotiating right now? I mean, after that interview with Tucker Carlson, that Putin admitted that there had been an agreement initially that had not been formalized, but I mean, there was an agreement, and then it was nixed by Boris Johnson from England. No one's even talking about that. Where's the negotiation at? Why don't we negotiate with these people? You know, Ukraine has a law now that they've passed that says you can't negotiate with the Russians. I don't know where this is going to go, but it isn't going to be good for me and you. Because $61 billion is nothing to sneeze at. I mean, you've got, right now, what I see the other day, we are adding on to the deficit $1 trillion every 100 days. So between now and the election, we will have increased our, let's see, 8 months times 30 or 20. Okay, let's say 250 days between now and the election. Between now and the election, we will have raised the deficit $2.5 trillion. We can't keep doing this. And give us $61 billion and just basically setting it on fire is ridiculous. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's probably not going to be good. All right. One other thing I wanted to cover right quick. I got a few. I try to keep it at 45 minutes, so just a few more here. State of the Union address coming up March 7th at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Biden is going to, I can almost guarantee you this, he's going to pit Americans against each other, okay? This is going to be one of the most divisive State of the Unions in American history. He's going to tell you, as a Trump supporter or a MAGA person or someone who wants to put America first, that you're basically a scumbag, okay? And that you need to get on board with the left and do what we say, and there's no negotiating about it. That's it. Yeah. That's what's going to happen. He's going to pit MAGA Republicans and any American who leans right against Democrats and the left, okay? Painting the former as being on the wrong side of every issue, being domestic and foreign. I think that's accurate. And I think there's going to be some talk. Now, I could be wrong on this, but it wouldn't surprise me if there wasn't some talk about making illegals, or as they're calling them now, newcomers, making it easier for them to become U.S. citizens. We'll see what happens, okay? Be sure and watch Thursday. It's going to be interesting. It really will. I don't know that the man can carry on a speech for an hour, but I could be wrong. They pump him full of enough Ritalin, maybe he will be able to. But I don't think anything's going to come out of that. It's going to be positive for the United States. So anyway, that's all I got. And it is, what is it? It is March 4th, and Joe Biden is the worst president in American history. Let's go, Brandon.
As always, thanks for listening to the Average Joe podcast. Be sure to check out our website at www.averagejoenation.media and follow us on social media. Remember, if you haven't told all your friends, you're wrong.